Welcome to the Extra Mile Podcast, Jeff Galloway edition. You have happened across the only podcast completely dedicated to learning and mastering the Jeff Galloway Run Walk Run training method right from Jeff himself. Jeff's Run Walk Run training method has been developed and evolved over many years using feedback from nearly 500,000 of your fellow runners. This podcast will run walk run you gently through Jeff's training methods to get you to the finish line of your next event or simply help you run to your 100. So lace up those running shoes and let's get moving.
Welcome to the Extra Mile Podcast, Jeff Galloway edition, episode 5.4. How's everybody doing? This is your host, Kevin, and I'm out today at lunch for a little walk. Gorgeous day here in Cincinnati. It was only about 73, 74 degrees. There is a slight breeze, so I hope that's not ruining the recording. I just finished a little bit over 3 miles at a faster pace for me. And now I'm just doing kind of a quote-unquote cool-down walk. I'll get into that here in a minute. First, a tiny little health update, huh? So tomorrow, it will be exactly 6 weeks out from my hip replacement surgery. And I'm feeling really, really good. My PT, my physical therapy, is over with. I've reached the goals necessary to release me from that. And right now, I'm trying to do quite a bit of walking without setting any land speed records. I'm walking 5 to 6 days a week, anywhere from 3 miles to 5 miles. My 5 mile is my long walk of the week. And like I said before, at least on the 3 milers, I'm trying to speed it up a little bit. I see some of you all posting your walks and you're doing like 15 minute walks. And Connie from Pennsylvania put one on the Facebook page this morning. I think it was around a 5K, maybe a 3 mile walk, and she was in the 14s. And I remember thinking to myself, holy crap, I'm not sure that I can ever get into the 14s on a walk. Well, what I've started to do is add very, very short shuffle breaks. And I've taken my timer with me, and currently I'm doing a 90-second walk and a 30-second shuffle. Let me try to explain what I mean by shuffle. I am fighting the urge to run. I am making sure that one foot is on the ground at all times. So the best way I can explain it is if you were to start jogging right now, jogging very slowly, and then keep slowing down until you're a little bit faster than those silly looking race walkers, but slower than a jog, making certain that you've got at least one foot on the ground at all time. I'm trying very hard to place my feet on the ground when they land and not pound them on the ground, if that makes sense. So that's a little bit about me. Let's chat a little bit about this episode. Of course, we'll start out by playing Where in the World is Jeff Galloway? He's been all over the country lately has been from the West Coast all the way to the East Coast. And let me remind all of you that if by chance you catch up with Jeff and you are lucky enough to chat and get your picture taken with him, please post it on the Facebook page, will you? I love seeing those. They make me jealous, but I still love seeing them. And of course, please remember to tell Jeff that you listen to his podcast also. He loves that. And I think you'll get a sense of that in today's episode when we chat with him. And speaking of meeting and greeting with Jeff, if you've ever thought about traveling to meet him or to attend one of his running schools, you might want to shoot over and listen to the next episode. And I think it's number 171 of the Extra Mile podcast. We had some lovable extra milers do just that recently and talk a little bit about that. So that might be fun to listen to. So after we catch up, Jeff and I will continue our discussion that we started in the last episode on the subject of what I call gallop walking. That is, not just going out and having a nice leisurely walk for fun, although Jeff is 100% all for that. But gallop walking, in my mind, is adding some structure and some run, walk, run elements to the walking program. So, more deep conversations about that, some great questions from some lovable extra milers, and of course, some Jeff Galloway half marathon talk as well. And then finally, another great talk with Coach Twiggs. Don't miss this conversation. It was a fun conversation. And we will chat more in a little bit more detail at the end. So y'all enjoy your extra mile.
Early walk breaks erase fatigue. So let's start this episode with a gentle walk break.
All right, like the man said, it's time for a gentle walk break, the part of the show where we catch up with Mr. Galloway. Good morning, Jeff. How are you today?
Good morning, Kevin. I have to tell you, I've been seeing a bunch of the podcast viewers and your fans all over the place, most recently up in York, Pennsylvania.
Yeah. There's a lot of pictures going around, and you made a lot of folks happy. I want you to know that. I know that makes you feel good, but you really made a lot of those folks happy up there.
There's a very live and energized running community up there in southeastern Pennsylvania. Really enjoy being there. We've got a program there.
Yes, absolutely. And I know there's a couple extra miles have already signed up for the thing, and they're pretty excited about it. So very good.
Yeah, it's really a beautiful area. I was really blown away by how picturesque it is.
Yeah, I'm going to mention a couple of things about that school you did there here coming up.
Good.
But besides that venue, the last time we spoke, you were way up in Washington State and did a marathon up at the Capital City Marathon in Olympia, didn't you?
Yes.
How'd that go?
It went really great. That is a really scenic course. It goes through mostly, I wouldn't say rural, but it's sort of forested areas with really attractive houses and folks were out there cheering. It goes by the waterfront in several different areas. The best part about the course is the last mile. It's just a gentle and consistent downhill the whole way.
I would think the last mile of a marathon, every marathon, is the best part of it.
Well, that is true. And when you've got downhill, that really is whether you're walking or running.
I might have the wrong race, but I read somewhere, and I think it's this one. Is this the one where you invited a bunch of people to just jump in and run the race with you and Barbara? Or am I thinking of it?
Yes, definitely did that. And we didn't have many at the start. As a matter of fact, this is most of the people in the race ran in the half, and so the full wasn't that large, which meant it wasn't crowded at all. But I actually ran with a friend of mine for most of the race, and we were in last place for probably about 16 miles before we started passing people. And then they joined in, and we had a really nice contingent pulling one another along.
Well, very good. And the next time I tracked you down, you went from Washington State, and suddenly you were over on the East Coast with some running schools like we spoke about. You did the Baltimore, you did the York County, and coming up, I think you've got one in Raleigh as well coming up, don't you?
That's correct. Raleigh's will be on Saturday, this Saturday, but it's been a very busy but really energized series of trips. The folks in Baltimore, in D.C., and in York, we had record attendance. The season is alive and people are coming out.
So before I get off of that topic, it's a great segue to the whole running schools you were in. And honestly, York County, I don't get the impression it's a very big town, city, whatever, right? It's a smaller venue, right?
It is, but I'm sure that we're going to get a really good group out of there because of the energy. And Janelle, who is our program director, really does a great job.
So let's talk a little bit about generically about these running schools you put on, like you did there at York County, Pennsylvania. The schools themselves, kind of small venues, right? And you get a lot of one-on-one time with you. Is that right?
That's correct. The schools usually range between 20 and 25 people, which means that over a three-hour span, I can get to every single individual question that a person has.
And here's one thing that I came away with. We have an extra mile, a good friend of mine who was at that school. And his name's JD, and he's been, you and I and he have had several conversations down in Atlanta, actually, and he puts together his own great running podcast as well. But he made a comment about your running school that I thought was interesting. Now, JD's been doing Run, Walk, Run for a few years. He's even done some customized training with Chris Twiggs. So he said that not 100% of what you said or what he heard you say was new. He had heard before, but just watching you do some of it and hearing it firsthand, lots of it clicked where it had never clicked just reading from a book or something. So my point is, no matter how long you've been doing this stuff, you still get something out of these running schools.
I think the big advantage, as told to me by veterans who have heard several of my talks, and in some cases dozens of my talks, is that in a running school, during the 3 hours, I'm able to pull everything together at one time, and then people can ask questions about any conflicts or how do things mesh together. And they come away from the running school feeling, well, now I understand how these things fit together.
Right, right. Some of us are just visual people. I know I am.
Yeah.
And before we get off the top of the running schools, I know we spoke about Raleigh's coming up, but also you've got one in Long Island, and also one there in your home city of Atlanta coming up. And I'm going to put a link in the show notes to where all those cities are and exactly how to sign up for those.
Great.
Okay. So besides that, in the coming months, you've also got a retreat coming up in June in Blue Mountain, Florida. I know that's one of your favorite parts of the country.
It really is. Fortunately, the tropical storm that came through there didn't do any damage, but it's beautiful running on pine straw trails there, as well as running along the beautiful white sand beach. So, yes, we love coming down there.
So, and then I mentioned the Long Island Running School, that's June 23rd. Atlanta Running School is August the 12th. And then that brings us up to very briefly discussing something that you do every 4th of July. What do you got
Yes.
going on? How are you celebrating the 4th of July this year, Joe?
Well, the way that I started back in 1970, running the Peachtree Road Race.
Nice. Now, it's an act of God to get into this race. Is it 55 or 60,000? I forget what the number's up to. Do you know?
It's 65,000.
Oh, my gosh. So it's not the easiest race to get into, but what I wanted to point out is if you're anywhere in the area at all, whether you run the race or not, the expo is something not to be missed. And I know that you're going to have the half marathon, the Jeff Galloway half marathon is going to have a booth there. I'm assuming you're going to be spending a lot of time on your feet the 2 days before that race.
Absolutely. Peachtree gets a lot of folks who have not done a half or full marathon before and are very curious, you know, how much more is it going to take? And the reality is that the amount of training time is really the increase in the training time is only every other week as the long run increases. Otherwise, it's only 30 minutes every other day.
Very good. So that race is obviously on the 4th of July. The expo will be running on July the 2nd and 3rd from 10 a.m. to 6 p.m. And my guess is probably pretty much every minute between that, except when Jeff has to run and fill up his coffee mug, he'll be at that booth.
Absolutely. So come on by, and I'd love to see you.
And here's another kind of off-the-topic thing, but if you're going to go to one of these expos, especially this one, take the kids along. Those things are very kid-friendly. People handing out samples, and my kids absolutely love those expos. So make it a family deal.
They sure do. There are a lot of parents have told me that they had arranged to get their numbers mailed to them, but they had to come down to the expo because the kids wanted to come.
Have I missed anything on your calendar coming up, Jeff, that I should have touched upon that you're aware of?
I think you've got it nailed, Kevin.
Perfect. Perfect.
After that gentle walk break, and knowing just the right ratio and pace, it's time to run.
So let's move on to the run interval part of the show, where we focus on some Jeff Galloway run, walk, run elements. And Jeff, if it's all right with you, I'd like to continue a little bit on the walking topic that we started on the last episode.
Yes.
So what intrigues me is, having done the Jeff Galloway run, walk, run for 10 or 12 years now, and having run for 35 years, the whole topic of running to me is new and fresh, because I always thought of walking as, you know, walking the dog around the neighborhood, but it's way so much more than that. So I'm trying to equate one with the other or figure out where the two mesh together. And the first thing I want to ask is, particular to walking, what about the right shoes? Is there anything different about a walking shoe or a running shoe, or what should we be wearing on our feet?
Well, there are a couple of issues. The first concept, though, is that the shoes, in the way that they fit when you go to the store, should fit the way that you would fit a running shoe. The concept is that you want to have a shoe that works off the function of your foot, and then also the shape of your foot. And if you have a knowledgeable person who is helping you, they can really help you find three or four shoes that might work, and then you walk in them and you keep trying three or more pairs if you need to, and you'll come up with one that just feels right for your foot, and that's the key.
Perfect. Here's another walking topic I want to talk about. How long, if I'm new to walking, how long does it generally take to get hooked on walking?
It's very individual. A lot of it depends on the courses that you walk and companions that you could have. A lot of the same things apply to running, but walking tends to be more solitary for a lot of folks, and so having thoughts or a lot of people who go on long walks will put books on tape and they'll listen to that or one of your wonderful podcasts. That's done quite often. But the whole concept of liking walking is really about each individual finding those things that turns them on while they're walking. For some, it's transcendental meditation or at least relaxation. For others, it's staying on your feet, and as you go longer and longer, you're going to develop more endurance just because you keep on going, which is the same concept as you do when you're increasing the length of your long run.
Right. Do you recommend, or do you know a lot of folks who are into walking that have gone out and got a step counter, either like a Fitbit or a Garmin? I mean, the technology seems to be coming so advanced now from the older pedometer kinds of things.
Absolutely correct. The devices that we now use sometimes rule our lives, and in a good way. I mean, I can't believe it, but at the end of, well, maybe in the late afternoon, I will look and check my step count for the day and see what I need to do in my afternoon workout. and it's good. It's beneficial because every few steps you take, you're burning calories, but you're also getting the body moving, which turns the brain on in a positive way. Both walking and running turn the brain on in a unique way.
You could be addicted to much worse things than how many steps you get during the day, huh?
Absolutely correct.
So, like I said, I've been running for so long and doing this run walk run thing for quite a few years now. So I naturally wonder when I start the walking thing, what elements of run walk run can be transferred directly to walking. Specifically, I'd like to know, what about hill training? Is that something that you recommend, or do we care about? Is there, particularly for someone who wants to, let's say, I'm not a race walker, never will be one, but I would like to increase my speed a little bit as I walk, or my exertion, whatever. What about hill training? Is there anything such
hill,
as hill training?
Yeah, as in running, walking up hills will strengthen your legs and will also help you fine-tune your form when you walk up and walk down a hill, so that you will be able to feel stronger and be able to negotiate longer hills when you have to and steeper hills when you have to. So a variety of hills walked or for runners run where you're focusing on the form going up and going down is a very beneficial thing to do. A lot of folks that I know who have had some joint issues when running are shifting more to long hikes. And they have told me, a lot of them have told me, that when you hike up a very long, long stretch, the strengthening effect is quite significant if you do those regularly.
Very good. What about, while we're on that topic of hill training, what about speed work for walkers?
Okay. Speeding up a walk is very different than speeding up in running, in that you really are mainly focusing on your form. And the biggest mistake that's made is trying to speed up by having a longer walking stride. That is a very prominent source of injury. Now, the best way to speed up is to instead shorten the stride a little and pick up the cadence and go through a series of cadence drills for walking just as you would do when running. In other words, you time yourself for 30 seconds and you count how many times your left or your right foot touches within that 30 seconds. So in the first one, whatever your count is, on the second one, you want to have at least one more count. Take a 30-second easy walk between, and then do at least four of those and up to eight. And if you do that drill once a week, you'll find a faster walking pace and a more efficient walking form.
Very good. Do the exact same caveats apply to walking as running with regard to the weather?
Pretty much. Because you are not exerting as much effort, calorie burned, and then body heat increase, there is a tendency, if you don't cover yourself up during rainy weather, to get pretty chilly and to get cold if there's wind out there. Wearing some type of a waterproof garment, and the easiest is a garbage bag, believe it or not. You know, you poke a hole for your head, and if your arms, if you want to, a lot of folks will just wear a garbage bag and keep their arms inside if it's particularly chilly. But that's been a real good thing. And then you want to cover your head up when it's raining. So just a good hat that you found that works well. And other than that, the usual weather warnings and adjustments apply. The heat and slowdown is not quite as prominent when walking as it is when running, because you're not generating as much body heat when you're walking. So it's certainly a good idea to slow the walking pace down, but you don't have to slow it down as dramatically as you would when you're running in the heat.
Very good. I want to shift just for a second, if I could, and discuss something that I have been reading about lately in my favorite Galloway book, which is Running Until You're 100. And you touched upon it a little bit already, but one aspect of running that I don't think can be discounted, especially if we want to run until we're 100, is the principles, what you call the principles of great running form, that you just touched upon a little bit. And you discuss, in all the years and hundreds of thousands of interactions that you've had with runners, when issues do arise, they tend to occur in one of three areas, which fascinated me. The three are posture, feet, keeping your feet low to the ground, and your stride length. So I'd like to touch on each one of those very briefly. As far as, first of all, posture, you have something that you call puppet on a string. Can you talk a little bit about posture for a runner?
Yes, running or walking is usually facilitated best, according to the research, by having an upright body posture. And the puppet on a string has been a great visualization that I've heard back from folks to help you image how you should look and how you should feel. If your body is upright, that just simply means that your head is over your shoulders, which are over your hips, and everything moves forward as the feet touch, and then you can keep from wobbling down the road if you don't have a long stride. So upright body posture, keep everything in balance.
The next one is feet low to the ground. I'm sometimes guilty of not doing this enough. How do we do that? How high do we need to lift our feet?
Well, in walking, you don't need to lift the feet hardly at all. Couple that with having a nice, gentle stride. That means that the feet are low to the ground, and you can develop a lighter touch of the foot, meaning that you're not going to be spending much energy as you walk.
Do you remember discussing in that book something that you call a light touch drill? I was kind of intrigued with that.
Absolutely. The cadence drill is a timed drill of either 15 or 30 seconds. A light touch drill is very similar, in which you set your timer, your Galloway beeping timer, for the interval of your choice. And in this case, you can set it at 15 seconds or 20 or 30. Those are the three most popular. Now, when it beeps, you work on just very lightly touching with your feet. And as you do one of those counts, go ahead and count and see what the count is. You're not really focusing exclusively on the count, but it does help to have sort of a goal to have it at least maintain the same count that you had during the first couple of those light touch drills. But the main focus of this drill, again, is to very lightly touch on your feet so that you're not feeling a push off, you're not hitting hard on your landing. And then that means, if you're touching lightly, that you will be able to pick up the cadence.
Very good. And lastly, you spoke a teeny bit about this just even before I asked the question, stride length. You mentioned that the major cause of aches, pains, and injuries is too long of a stride, and I'm guilty of this too. I think it's intuitive that if I want to go faster, I naturally want to increase my stride length, but that's taboo, isn't it?
Well, I mean, it actually does help you run faster, but you're going to tend to pay for it. Long stride overextends your orthopedic units, and it puts extra stress on the hips, the knees, the feet, the muscles, the tendons, and in the shins. So you can have a lot of irritations that are generated specifically by too long a stride length. So it's best to use the light touch drill and the cadence drill to help pull that stride into an efficient amount for you.
Very good. And Jeff goes into all of these topics in a lot more detail in many of his books. This one was in particular is from the book Running Until You're 100, and I'll add a link in the show notes to this. And the other thing I would say is if you read and listen to what Jeff has to say on some of these drills and they're still not kicking in, get to a running school, because Jeff will take you into the parking lot and show you exactly what he's talking about. Right, Jeff?
That is absolutely right. We do have hands-on instruction, and we also do that at our drills, too, at our beach retreats. We'll do the drills together, and we'll also I'll do an individual form evaluation at the beach, at the retreats, whether they be Carmel or down on the panhandle at Blue Mountain Beach.
Can't beat that.
It's time to see how you are progressing in your training. So it's time for a magic mile.
All right, good. Let's move along to the magic mile, the part of the show where we turn over to some of our lovable extra milers to ask questions of Jeff. Jeff, I got a few of them this time. The first one is from our friend Kim. She's right there in Atlanta. She's wondering how many steps per minute do you think she should aim for if somebody's wanting to walk, say, a 15-minute mile? Or is that something she should be concerned about?
She should not be concerned about the number of steps. Let it happen naturally, and that's the beauty of the cadence drill. Whatever your count is on the first drill, take a 30-second break, and then on the second one, you want to have one more. And then successively, your goal on each of those drills is to have one more count. What I found is that you'll see on the internet a lot of different suggestions as to what you should shoot for. I found that any given number, you're going to have somewhere around 15% of the runners or walkers that will never be able to reach that amount. And there'll be another 15 to 20 at the other end who will be held back if you give them a certain amount. So I found it just so much better over the last 30 years when I've been doing this cadence drill to have each person start at a count that's natural for them on the first one, and then let your form find the right count that day. And the other finding that I've had is that if you do this drill once a week, you become more and more efficient walking and running. And at the end of 6 months, not only are you more efficient, but you'll also have a little bit more speed.
Very good. Thanks, Kim. And Kim's one of our regulars down at the Jeff Galloway Half Marathon, and I know she's coming back again this year.
Great.
The next one I have is an audio question from Amy. And let's listen to what Amy has to say briefly.
Hey, Kevin, it's Amy from the Run, Eat, Drink podcast at runeatdrink.net and one of your fellow extra miler lurkers. I wanted to ask Jeff, how do you know it's the right time to make a marathon your next running goal? What are the questions you should consider to know that it's the right time for you? Thanks. And as always, thanks for putting out that Extra Mile podcast, the Galloway edition. Love to hear you guys talk. Talk to you soon.
Well, Amy, that's a very good question because there are so many people that toy with the idea in their imagination that if the half marathon is working, should they step up to the marathon? And if a half marathon is a struggle every other time, should they do it? So there are a lot of issues that are individual, and each person has to figure that out. First of all, you need to have time to do the long runs. In the marathon program, you will be building up the long run every other week until the long run reaches 16 miles, and then the long run is done every third week. The minimum in between those long ones is only 30 minutes every other day, but those long runs get long. And so you have to realize that those last few long runs on the calendar are going to take you a very good chunk of the day, 6 hours, 7 hours, 8 hours in some cases. So you need to be able to identify that. They're only happening every 21 days, but you need to have that time available. The second item for stepping up is to look at various marathons and make sure that you can get in the closing time. And so do the research and do the magic mile. See what that magic mile time is predicting and realize that if you're really close to that magic mile time, it could be very problematic because you're going to have to do the speed work and longer long runs in order to be able to predict to do what the magic mile is predicting. So you want to have a real good cushion in taking what the magic mile is predicting and then looking at the closing time per mile in that marathon. Those are the two main things, but the marathon is totally doable. You can even walk all of the long runs to build up the endurance. And by going through that journey that gradually increases the length, whether you're walking or running in these quests for the marathon, it's really a wonderful accomplishment and one that is quite elite. Only 0.1% of the population each year finish a marathon.
Very good. Thanks, Jeff. My next one comes from Suzanne, who has become a regular down in Atlanta with us as well. She has a running group that she runs in the evenings twice during the week, and then they do their long runs on Saturday mornings together. She's not really an evening runner, even when the temperatures are not quite that bad, but she does enjoy running with others. What she'd like to know is, does it matter if she adds a midweek-type run in the mornings and then still goes out in the evenings and runs with her group just to be with them? Do you think she's doing more harm than good just to be with folks?
Of course, again, a lot of individual issues, but if the group that she is running with is a nice, gentle, paced group for her and she's not really having any trouble running that pace, then it's certainly okay to go out and do a gentle run that morning. A lot of people do that. But if the afternoon run is challenging, I would recommend that you look at another day to do that extra morning run.
And actually, she goes on to say later on that most of the time in the evening with her friends, it's an evening 2 or 3 mile walk. So that would help too, right?
Oh, absolutely. If it's more of a walk, then that's usually not a problem at all to run in the morning.
Very good. Last question comes from Connie, who I don't think it's an exaggeration to say she fell in love with you in York County, by the way, Jeff. She says,
oh, great.
Hi, Jeff. First, I want to say how much I enjoyed meeting you and attending your running clinic in York this past Saturday. I have to admit, I was certainly starstruck. You are such an inspiration. As I said when we met, I'm now strictly a walker, but I'm okay with that because I'm still moving forward. I love your walking book, and it's been very helpful to me as I'm currently training to walk a half marathon, and immediately following the half marathon, I'll slide into marathon training. So I quickly wrote back and recommended a marathon she could attend in December. A half marathon in December we'll talk about here in a minute. But here's her question. My question for you is a follow-up to something that you shared on Sunday. You said that your favorite race fuel is flat Coke. This may be a dumb question, but does your body get the same benefits from a flat diet Coke? I'm very conscious about my calories, and I don't want to consume all the calories of a Coke.
Well, it was great to see you in York, and thanks so much for your nice comments. And also, thank you for the question. I thrive on answering these questions. No, flat Diet Coke will not give you what you need in a long race. The concept of blood sugar boosting is something that you must do if you want to maintain a good, stable blood sugar level. If you don't maintain that blood sugar level, it will gradually go down as you do these long events, and the brain will start shutting things down. You see, the blood glucose is your brain's fuel source, and you will be using up a little bit of that every mile as you go through a walk or a run on a long, long event. And you need to prop that up by the ingestion of sugar. There's not much sugar that you have to intake, but if you do not, then you will reach a point where you're not going to feel good, and the brain can really shut down things and then secrete negative hormones to make you feel absolutely miserable, and it's totally preventable. Now, the thing about flat Coke and sugar cubes, gummy bears, Lifesavers, these are more pure forms of sugar, and the body can really assimilate them much more quickly. They can be absorbed into the bloodstream quicker, so that means that the brain will have access to those sooner. And very little liability that you're going to have the brain cause things to go downhill.
Very good. And Connie, I'll just remind you, you probably know this already, but a 12-ounce Coke has 150 calories. So, you know, unless you go for your walk and then come back and drink two or three more of them, I don't think it's going to be that big of an issue for you to take just 12 ounces of it.
And Kevin, let me also explain that that is fuel for the very long, long runs. If you're not having blood sugar issues, most people don't have to ingest sugar until the long one gets up around an hour 45 to 2 hours or longer.
Very good. So you're probably talking more like, an hour and 45, maybe 6 to 7 miles if you're walking, I would think, right?
Yeah, that's right. And if you're only going out for an hour or an hour, most people an hour and a half, most people do not need to ingest anything during those shorter walks or runs.
Very good. Thanks for all the questions. Those were all great ones for this episode. Two more things, two events that I want to talk about that are out in the future. And sometimes I think I bring these events up, and we don't always give the listeners enough time to do their due diligence and prepare. But there's two events I want to talk about. One's in October and one's in November that give the listeners a lot of time to figure out if they're able to do it. And the first one is October the 4th through the 7th at your retreat in Carmel. You've got a kind of a special theme going on for this one, Jeff, right?
Absolutely. It's my goal right now, my primary goal, and that is to run until I'm 100. And there are a number of folks that want to walk until they're 100. We're going to talk about both of them out there in Carmel, which is one beautiful place to do walks or runs. And we will be taking them by the ocean and in this beautiful Mission Park there that goes through a wooded area on Woodchip Trail. Oh my gosh, what a great place. And I'll be going over all the various aspects of how you can stay in the game and adjust your run-walk-run, adjust your training, adjust your nutrition as the decades go by. See, I'm seeing a growing number of people in their 80s and now going into their 90s that are continuing to do significant amounts of either running or walking. And the best part, they keep the mind sharp. They have a lot of vitality. They have a good attitude, and they maintain their personal empowerment because of the walks and runs.
So before I forget, I will link in the show notes to where you can get all the details about this upcoming retreat as well as Jeff's other retreats. This one is October 4th through the 7th. The other event is on November the 11th, and it's in Greece. Tell us a little bit about your trip to Greece, Jeff.
Barbara and I have gone on this Apostolos Greek tour to the original marathon course in Athens for 17 years in a row, and then a Disney race was scheduled on the same day. So the last 7 years, we have not been able to go on this wonderful tour. But Paul Samaras is the tour director, and I've just never seen anyone do as wonderful job as Paul does in taking care of everything so that you can gather together at meals and on trips and do just learn so much because the guides are so good, and then enjoy being around one another. A lot of our long-term friendships have been developed on that tour. Now, what has happened in the last couple of years that is even more enhancing is that there's a side tour to extend it to 12 days that goes to Olympia, Greece. This is where the original Olympics took place. And you can actually run on the field where the ancient Olympians ran. You'll also go to the ancient site of Delphi and Epidaurus, which is where a beautiful, amazing theater is located and a healing center in ancient Greece, and Agamemnon's palace. There are so many amazing visits that you make to ancient sites. Not only will you learn a lot, but your whole awareness of what life is about that started with the ancient Greeks and their philosophy and how it relates to us today. Barb and I are going back. We're going to be running on that original course that Pheidippides ran, and on the original field where the ancient athletes ran, and we'd love to have you come with us. Go to www.athensmarathon.com.
Very good, and I'll link that in the show notes as well. Got a lot of time to plan for that one. That one's in not until November. By the way, they also have a 5K and a 10K if you're not into the to the full marathon, so there's some options there too.
Very true.
Last topic for the day, Jeff, is the my favorite half marathon of the year, the Jeff Galloway Half Marathon in December. And what you suggested we do, which I think is a great idea, is pick a couple of topics each episode that make this particular half marathon unique. So the first one I want to ask you about is the shirt itself. Tell us a little bit about the shirt that you get for this race.
Yes, and at the end of this, I have a little bit of news, at least a news item that will be coming up very soon, so I'll be announcing that. But in terms of the shirt, most race shirts today are a billboard on the back, and we do not want to do that. We have a clean back. It looks like a shirt that you could wear wherever you want to, and I do see per capita, more of our shirts worn around to other events, to social occasions, and so forth, because quite honestly, people tell me it's just an attractive shirt, and it's also a high-tech fiber that's used too. So anyway, we're gonna have another good design, and it's going to be a special design this year because it's the fifth anniversary. It's a big year.
Yeah, it's very good. Shirts are great. You're right. Yeah, you got to get you one, especially for the fifth year. December the 7th, 8th, and 9th, and it's not a one-day half marathon. This is a weekend event, so if you're planning on coming along, make sure you spend some time. And that brings me to the next question, and the unique part of this is Atlanta is a great city, and this course goes along some pretty darn historic areas of the city, right?
Atlanta is a very historic place, and we worked hard on the course to go by places that have an historic theme in our city. The first is the Margaret Mitchell House, where Margaret Mitchell wrote Gone with the Wind, and you actually go glance right by that right after the start. You can a lot of folks stay in the area around the start. We have a lot of hotels and a lot of good rates there. And the Margaret Mitchell House is within an easy walk of that. It's right near the start. The second place that we go by is, you'll get a chuckle, but it's Shaquille O'Neal's Krispy Kreme Donut Shop. He bought a franchise. And that is just a couple miles into the course, but it's right on a corner where you turn, so you can say hi to Shaq as you go by there. Mary Mac's Tea House is right near that same location, and that is a mainstay for Southern food in Atlanta. It's just a hoot to go to, and a lot of the old ways in the South will be on exhibit there, and you'll see a lot of motifs from Southern history. Moving on to the Martin Luther King Center, that actually is headed up by Bernice King, who I actually coached at the Galloway School when she was attending school there, a very well-run organization now. She's running that for her father's legacy, Martin Luther King Center. Moving on down another couple of miles to the Jimmy Carter Library, which you'll run right by. And then you'll get on to the Beltline, which is our heritage rail trail. Used to be a trolley line that looped the downtown district. And they're bringing that back as first a pedestrian trail that is beautiful, has great vistas of the skyline of Atlanta. Virginia Highlands, which is really a funky and interesting district, and then around Piedmont Park, which is our beautiful park, with 2 miles finish inside the park. And just before you enter the park, you'll go by our store, Fidipides, the very first running store in the country, and you can come by and visit a little area in the store that has my uniform up on the wall that I ran in the Olympics, my trophy that I won in the very first Peachtree Road Race, and a number of memorabilia through the years. So there are a lot of neat things to do, and we're very proud to have a historic course to very run good. On.
And to tie into that a little bit, I mentioned that the half marathon was on the 9th, but on the 8th, and this is part of why you got to get down there for the entire weekend, the 8th, there is a little 5K in the morning as well, right?
It's Barb's 5K, and we have a very nice medal for that, too. It's not your standard rubber medal or whatever. It's a shiny medal. It's really, really nice. Got rave reviews on that. And we have a kids race that's free, too, on Saturday morning. So bring the kids. And,
Jeff mentioned about running by the Fidipides store. This 5K, Barb's 5K, actually starts there and finishes very close to it. So you can walk right back into the store. And Jeff typically has some really, really good deals going on that entire weekend. And you'll get to see his uniform and all the other great stuff there at the Fidipides store. So plan on doing that one as well. And if I do both of them, what's that event called, Jeff?
with a double G, and there's a medal associated with it. And it's also another really sought-after medal. So you will have three medals that you can win that weekend. And I wanted – the little news item is we have already got the design up on the medal, and we will be publicizing as soon as we get the art clarified and everything. But it's going to be a bigger medal, more substantial medal, and it'll have more bling than we've ever had before and more than most races ever have.
And if you've seen or been lucky enough to earn one of these medals in the last 4 years, you'll understand that's not a small feat that Jeff's talking about to make this medal better, because they've always been perfect, just absolutely great medals. So very good. Thanks for that update, Jeff.
Well, it's going to be a big day in December, and we'd really love to see everybody that could come join us. But if you can't, we do have the virtual, so you can still win the medal and the T-shirt that way.
Very good. Get over. I'm going to link to Jeff's website for the half marathon. It's jeffgalloway131.com, but I'll link in the show notes. And get over there and check out the tab. That's the tab at the top. It first says participants, and then underneath it says accommodations, because you'll see several hotels that have made deals with the half marathon, and those will book up. Those are some really good deals, especially considering you're staying in the heart of Atlanta near all the action. So and they'll, trust me, they'll book up. So get over there, make your accommodations, and join us this year. Jeff, that's all I got for today. I appreciate your time. This one, particular interest to me with the walking topic, so I appreciate you discussing some of those with me.
Well, always a pleasure, and the little tip for the day is whether you're walking or running, get out there and move your feet, and you're going to turn on your brain.
Keep moving,
Kevin.
Right, Jeff?
That's correct.
Appreciate it. Have a great rest of your day. Tell everyone in Raleigh we said hello. And you enjoy your extra mile.
Well, same to y'all, Kevin. Have
Thanks.
A great week. After a great endorphin rush, let's end this episode with a well-deserved cool down.
All right. So after all that, it's time for a nice cool down. And to do that, we welcome back to the podcast Coach Chris Twiggs. Hi, Chris. How are we doing?
Oh, better than I deserve, Kevin. Just enjoying life here in sunny Florida. How about yourself? How are you?
I'm doing well, too. I'm getting there.
Good.
Is it summer there as far as the weather goes now? Is it,
as Amanda calls it,
African hot?
It's not, well, you know, it's not African hot yet. It's only, we're talking and it's not quite 10 a.m. It's 81 degrees here and sunny. It's just, gosh, it's gorgeous. It's gorgeous. It is definitely that time of year when if you are on top of things and can get out for your run at sunrise, you will not have to put on sunscreen and you'll feel a little bit better. If you wait and do a run or a walk midday, then you're going to want your sunglasses, and you might want to change your shirt afterwards if it's just a walk, because it does get hot in the middle of the day. But it's beautiful, and I live close to the ocean, as you know, and so we have a nice breeze, so it never gets stupid hot. It rarely gets.
I disagree with you.
Well, it rarely gets into the triple digits. We'll put it that way.
Okay. I was vacationing down there a few years ago, and I stopped my run at about 2.5 miles and said, no, this is a walk, and, which is okay, because the scenery is just amazing down there anyway.
It is. Absolutely. It's why we live here.
So I noticed you do, I don't know how often, weekly runs or whatever, some fun runs from a place called, is it called Current Running?
Yes.
Is that like a little mom and pop? It looks so cute.
It's a great it's a great running store. It's our local running store on the island, and it is very literally now a mom and pop, because Tom, the owner, is now a father. And so he often shows up with his jogging stroller for the group runs. And we do a group run from there on Thursdays. And it's a lot of fun. Often there's a food truck that shows up. And so after the run, we can get some nice food out of the, you know, from the food truck. And but it's a neat little place. It was, I think it was the first place that started carrying the Squoosh. Oh. So that's significant. And we can get your Squooshes there if you are local. And yeah, it's a neat store. We love to support our local independent running store. I think that's really important no matter where folks live. If there is a running store there, that's where you should be buying your shoes. Those are the experts. Those are the people that are going to stand behind their products. And it's sad that so many local independent running stores have gone out of business. And I think it's because of people buying their stuff online. And I get you that you can get great prices online. I was just before we had this call, I was looking to buy a new television. And where am I looking? I'm looking at Amazon. Mm-hmm. You know, I think for your running shoes and those other things, it's important to go to those local stores. And if there's a run from that place, that's a great way to support that store as well. So I love that. Yeah.
Very good. So listen, one of the hats that you wear with Mr. Galloway is heading up the Galloway training groups that are now mm-hmm. all over the country, actually all over the world, not in every country yet, but I know you're working on that.
We are. We're always talking to folks in other countries that are talking about getting them started. But there are a few places. If you happen to be down in Australia, or if you happen to be over in Israel, those are two places we have very active programs. And we've had some that are semi-active in Germany and in Italy.
Have you got anything, or are you starting one in the UK at all?
Yeah, we've talked to, it's a tough nut to crack for some reason, but we've talked to people over the years, and I've currently got a couple of folks that are emailing me about potentially doing something in the UK. They have a really strong movement over there called Parkrun, mm-hmm. and Parkrun is a free 5K every weekend in a park, and it's in several locations in the UK. And so we've tried to tie into those and to get training programs going that would help people train for those 5Ks, or that would take people from those 5Ks and then train them for something longer. It's just, for some reason, it's been a tough nut to crack. They call it Jeffing over there. if you talk to people that do run walk in the UK, they call it Jeffing. I have no idea who started calling it that, but it's several people that I've communicated with over there talk about Jeffing.
Yeah. Well, speaking of training programs or groups that are in foreign countries, you've got one there in York County, Pennsylvania now, I see.
Yes. Man, I love seeing that picture of all the extra milers that gathered to hear Jeff when he came to do that running school there. What a cool thing. And yes, we do have a program. They just kicked off last week. So folks that are training for a half marathon or I think a 5K up in that area, I don't believe they're doing marathon training, but I could be wrong about that. I'd have to look and see. But Janelle is the program director there, and she was a member of our Baltimore program, which is not too terribly far away from there.
Right, right.
And then she just decided the commute was too much, and she wanted to have something for her folks up in that area. And so she started that program. And I think that's an important thing. We love to see when our members move to a new location, if there's not already a Galloway program there, we love to see them start new programs. And that's just, you know, one of my favorite things is helping folks do that.
Well, welcome, Janelle. And I know we've got an extra miler or two that joined that group besides coming, yep. going to the running school and the meet and greet and all that kind of stuff. So so I thought it would be a good idea to talk a little bit about maybe a perk or two of the training program or of the training group that we hadn't spoken about for a while. And you suggested the other day about we were talking about the weather. It's obviously entering vacation season with lots of traveling, and there's kind of a perk that goes along with this that I'm not sure. I don't, at least on this podcast, you and I have done the due diligence we need to. But tell us a little bit about one of the perks as far as traveling, especially on vacation season, with the, if you're a member.
Yeah, absolutely. So we like to say that if you're a member of one local Galloway program, you're a member of all of them. And so when people travel, if there is a Galloway program where you are vacationing or where you are on a work trip or just passing through and it happens to be a weekend, we want you to run with that local program. And it's really easy to contact the local program director. You just go to the jeffgalloway.com page, and there is a list of all of our active programs there. And with one easy click, you can email the program director and say, hey, I'm so-and-so, and I'm a member of this program, and would love to run with the group this weekend. Where and when are we meeting, and how far are we going? And that program director will let you know where to meet. And if you've run a magic mile and can tell the program director what your magic mile time is, then he or she can very easily tell you which group to run with. And part of my job is making sure that when you show up for that run with your magic mile time, the group that you run with in York County is doing the same run-walk ratio and training at the same long run pace or tempo run pace that happens to be a tempo run that day, that you would, the same ratio and pace that you would have back home or you would have in any of the other programs. We want consistency with that. So when you're traveling, we really want you to reach out to those local program directors. It's a great way to see how things are done a little bit differently in another program. And so you can take some great ideas back home to your program. It's a great way to share the exciting things that you do in your own program and let that program director know about some stuff. And it's a great way to run with people and learn a new city. There's no better way to learn a new city than to run in it. And I've had an amazing opportunity to train, to do training runs with folks in lots of different cities. I went up to Charlotte, North Carolina, and ran with them not that long ago. I've run with the Orlando program. I've run with programs out on the West Coast and in lots of different places. It's just tons and tons of fun. And, you know, some people may be listening and they don't have a local program where they are, but where they're vacationing, there is. And I still want them to try out those programs. You know, if you were at home and you wanted to try out your local program, we'd want you to come and try it a couple of times before you decide to become a member. And we have guest waivers that you can sign so that we're covered from a liability standpoint, but you can still try out that local program. And the same is true when you're traveling. If you're going to Orlando to visit Disney World and you want to run with the Orlando Galloway program, we want you to do that. If you're traveling to Cincinnati, Ohio, or Dayton, Ohio, and you want to train with that local program while you're there for a week or two, we want you to try it out. If there's not a local program where you are, then maybe running with that program when you're on vacation will inspire you to reach out and try to start a Galloway program. Or if that's not your style, if you're not interested in leading a program, maybe it's training with that local program while you're on vacation that gives you the incentive to sign up for a customized plan. And that would be great too. So I've seen awesome stories from people that have gone to New York City and have trained with the folks up in the New York City program. And that's awesome. I've run with them. That's a cool group. Certainly if you go to Atlanta and you want to train with the Mothership, the original program there in Atlanta, you know, please do that. Or by all means, if you're going to take a trip to Israel and you want to train with the group that's over in Tel Aviv, that would be awesome, or wherever you're going. So, yeah, that's a huge perk. And even if you're not a member of a program, we want you to go and try that out. Again, there'll be a guest waiver for you to sign just so we're covered from a liability standpoint. And but we want you to try that out once or twice for free just because we love you and we want you to to have a great running experience. And our runners, our programs are great ambassadors for their towns. You want to know where to go to eat. You want to know where to go to shop or all those things. Show up for a Saturday morning group run, and they'll tell you all those things. Lord knows, if you show up here in the Jacksonville area, we'll treat you right, and you'll learn all about why we love living where we do.
Nice, nice. That's an amazing perk. No more, hey, I've got a, I'm on vacation next week. I'll probably have to miss my long run. Boom.
And right? No excuses. I do have to say, I've done that. I've pulled that on some customized folks where they say, well, I may have to switch my run because I'm traveling and I'm going to be in Raleigh. And I'll say, well, guess what? We have a great Galloway program in Raleigh. Actually, mentioning Raleigh, we've got a couple of customized folks that are doing the Raleigh Half Ironman this weekend, and they are bringing some friends up there to, we say to Sherpa, you know, to kind of to help out and everything. And those friends are going and running with the Raleigh program on Saturday morning just to check them out and have fun with them. So, you know, bring your family too to go on those group runs. It's a great way to get in some exercise and learn a new city.
My buddy Tom is involved in that Raleigh group. He's an mm-hmm. extra miler, and he tells me, is Raleigh like the largest? It seems to be huge, doesn't it?
It is. It is the largest.
About
so
Raleigh.
There has been over the years there's been a back and forth between Raleigh and Jacksonville. But for the last few years, Raleigh has been the biggest, and it's an awesome program. I love those folks. We rely on the Raleigh Galloways for pacers. A lot of those folks have been pacers for us in the Disney races. They've been coming down. Some of those folks have been coming down from the very beginning to pace the Donna, the marathon and half there. So yeah, it's a good group. Ron Wahula is the program director there, and he has done awesome things with that group. If you're anywhere close to Raleigh, or if you go there for a vacation, you owe it to yourself to go and run with that group.
Tom Arnell's a buddy of mine from where is he from? There in Carrboro, North Carolina,
oh.
and he's a he's an advocate, excuse me, of that group, and he pitches that thing every chance he can get. So he loves that group. Good group.
Yeah, for sure.
So that's a great perk. Keep that in mind, mm-hmm. everybody. So let me move on to the other hat that you wear with Mr. Galloway. It's the customized training programs deal. You touched a second ago on the half Ironman, I think you said, was there coming up in Raleigh.
Yeah. But this weekend.
But one of your clients did something rather cool at the Ironman Texas recently, right?
Yes, Sue. She won her age group at Ironman Texas, which to say that some of these customized folks exceed my expectations is putting it mildly. she rocked it. And I'm so proud of her, so excited for her. And honestly, for me, the best part is that she renewed her customized membership for another 6 months. And so I get to help her prepare for the Ironman World Championship in Kona, Hawaii, which is in October. And oh my gosh, guys, I hope everybody has watched the coverage of that in years past. But if you've never watched the coverage of the Ironman World Championship, here's a reason to do it, to cheer Sue on. She's hoping to win her age group there. And oh my gosh, wouldn't that be awesome if she can do that too.
Yeah.
So we've tweaked her training schedule a bit. She's got a couple of shorter races as tune-ups leading up to that. But I'm so proud of Sue De Jesus. Just tickled that she did so well. And hoping that together we can get her an even bigger accomplishment. I'm just excited she gets to go and do that race.
Oh yeah. Well, that surprised me because I didn't realize this stuff was for anybody other than middle or back of the Packers. What's the deal?
So here's the thing, right? Ironman is a cool thing. Any triathlon is a cool opportunity for run walk. If you've done a triathlon, have you done a triathlon,
no,
Kevin?
No, I have not.
Oh my gosh. You should do it.
I sink, Chris. I sink.
Well, you know, the funny thing is, running after you've been on the bike is so awkward.
I bet.
We say you run like a duck when you get off the bike, and especially in Ironman where you've been on the bike for over 100 miles and then you try to run a marathon. It's just nuts. And so using run walk in that environment is such a good idea because you're able to get down the road without having an awkward gait, which can of course cause injuries. And then because you're already tired from this long swim and the long bike, using run walk can help you get to the finish line of that Ironman. And it works as well for any triathlon. And a few years ago, we were really vindicated in this when Jan Frodeno won the Ironman World Championship. And during the telecast of that, he was shown walking at all of the water stops. And the Ironman has at all Ironman races, there's a water stop at every mile mark. So he was running a mile and then walking about 30 seconds through every water stop to take in water and to dump water on his head, and then would run on down the road to the next mile. And afterwards, in a press conference, he was asked about that, and he said, absolutely, it was his plan going into it that he would take those walk breaks at every water stop. And at the pace he was going, that's the right ratio. That's the ratio we would recommend for the pace he was going, is to take about a 20 to 30 second walk break at mile marks. So he did it, and he won the world championship that way. So no, is it for the back of the Packers? Yes, it's for back of the Packers. But does it also work for age groupers? Clearly, Sue DeJesus won her age group. Does it work for the elites? Obviously, the world champion did it. So it's a great technique. The nice thing about when you leave your average local 5K and 10K, or even some of the big marathons, when you leave those environments and you get into things like the Ironman or like ultra running, you find people taking walk breaks all the time. They're not ashamed of it. It's part of the strategy, and it happens at every level of those sports. So it pains me sometimes when I hear people say, oh, well, I get laughed at if I take walk breaks, or, oh, it's frowned upon. You know, you're running with the wrong people, sure, if that's what's happening. So yeah.
Very good. Yeah. Well, yeah. Congratulations to you on that, on Sue's accomplishment too, Chris.
Oh, well, thank you. Obviously Sue did the work. Oh. Sue did the work, and I'm so proud of her. And, my role as a coach is so small compared to the role of the athlete. I'm just excited for her and just so excited to be able to, experience that accomplishment vicariously through her.
Well, before we get off the topic of the customized training programs, Jeff and I spoke yesterday about the Athens Marathon that's in November, and he was unable, because of some Disney commitments, to attend that for, I think he said, 7 years. And
yeah,
seven
glorious years when Chris Twiggs got to pretend he was Jeff Galloway and go to that race.
The party's over, isn't it?
Yeah.
So that was my point. You, for the last 7 years, when Jeff could not make it, you were Jeff Galloway for the Athens Marathon. Tell me, before I ask the real question, tell me a little bit about that course. Is it a tough course? Oh. Is it hotter than heck?
Yeah. So a marathon course, you're going to get one of three different types of marathon course. You're going to get a marathon course that's intended to be scenic. You're going to get a marathon course that's intended to be fast, or you're going to get a marathon course that is historic. And so you very rarely will get all three of those. So there are lots of marathon courses that are not necessarily scenic. There's nothing historic about them, but they're flat and fast. And those are courses that have their benefits, right? Some people want a fast course. They're going for a particular time. There are going to be others that won't necessarily be fast, but they're going to be gorgeous. You're going to get to see a lot of really cool things. And that's, you know, the New York City Marathon and the Marine Corps Marathon, those sorts of things. And then you've got some that are just historic, and the Boston Marathon falls into that category, obviously. as the oldest continuously run marathon. And then the Athens Marathon falls into that category because you're running on the course of the first marathon ever, which was in the 1896 Olympics, the first time the marathon existed as an event. It was on that course. And it is not, it is scenic sometimes, but not in the grand, beautiful way that some other races are. It is not fast by any means. It's a hard course, but the history of it demands that you do it. I think I really do believe that any marathoner should go and do the Athens Marathon because it is our Mecca. It is our, not to be disrespectful, maybe that was disrespectful, but you know, it is our, in the generic term of that, it is the place where we can trace the beginnings of our sport.
Sure.
Is to the marathon. It is to the plains of Marathon where that race starts, and to the city of Athens where that race finishes, to the very stadium where this race finishes, is the stadium where the race finished in 1896, is the stadium where the race finished in the more recent Olympic Games when Meb won a medal there. It's an amazing thing, but it is a hard course. It can be hot. It's in November, and so you wouldn't necessarily expect it to be brutally hot, but I find coming from Florida, I find the climate there to be identical to what I have at home. And so anybody that's run a November marathon in Florida, like the Space Coast Marathon, for example, you know, it can get hot. And so there have been many years when the Athens Marathon has been hot. There's not a lot of shade. There's one section that is on this wide highway of a road that has no shade at all. And when the sun is beating down on you, it can get pretty hot. But Jeff likes to say the good news is there's only one hill. The bad news is it's 20 miles long. And that's pretty true that from about the 10K point, it starts rolling and edging up, and you hit the top of that hill at 20 miles. And then you start coming down pretty seriously from there. So the best way to run that I have found is to run very conservatively for the first 20 miles to the top of that hill. And then you can start picking up the pace if you'd like. And that's what I did this past year and really enjoyed. Probably not the fastest I've run that course, but the most enjoyment I've had from the course because I held myself back early on. But gosh, I recommend it. I'm so excited for Jeff and Barb that they get to go back this year. They've missed it so much. Jeff's wife was so excited the last time I saw her talking about going back, and it brought a tear to my eye because I don't get to go this year. I have to stay home and work.
Well, that's the bad news. The good news is your boss will be halfway around the world.
My boss is always halfway around the world.
Oh, that's true.
You know. But gosh, if there are people that are on the fence about doing this race, I cannot sell it any harder. It is amazing. It is amazing. It is amazing. And the way that we do it with Apostolos Greek Tours guarantees that our people are going to get to the finish line. Paul Samaras, the director of Apostolos Greek Tours, has an amazing relationship with that race, has had an amazing relationship with that race from the very, very beginning. He was born in Kalamata, had a business in Denver for years and years, a restaurant business, had a Greek restaurant there. And then he retired from that to focus just on this. And this is all he does. He doesn't put on other tours. He doesn't do tours to any place else. It's just this one tour, bringing people to Athens to help them experience the people, experience the culture. And he has his own sweep vehicle that starts the halfway point of the race. So you have an opportunity to meet our staff there to pick up extra refreshments, especially if you have certain things you want to send out to the halfway point. The staff is there to collect, to give you those things if you've sent them out, or to collect things that you want to drop off. And then when the last runners come through that halfway point, that vehicle pulls out onto the course and follows behind the last runners. And even if the official race sweep vehicle goes past, our folks have a little marker that they put on their clothing. So it indicates they're with us, and the sweep vehicles won't force them onto the vehicles. They can keep going, and our vehicle behind them will follow along and guarantee that they get to complete the course, and they'll get their medal at the end. It's just awesome. My dad's first marathon was that marathon when he turned 70, and I did it with them, and it was probably the best running experience of my life, was getting to share those hours with my dad. Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Amazing. So it's fair to say you know this course backwards and forward, and I know you've spoken in the past with your customized training program, customizing the thing to the individual, you know, what pace they run, what times they want to run. But could you also customize a program based on the race itself? I mean, knowing this race so well.
Yeah. Oh, absolutely. No question about it. You know, this one, because I do know it so well, it's easy to say where those hard points are going to be. It's easy to say when you should worry about picking up the pace or holding back. I have had a couple of customized clients that have done this race that I've been able to give them specific advice for it. And the timing is perfect actually right now, because a customized training plan is a 6-month plan. And so that race is in November, it's early November. And so a 6-month plan that you got on right now would cover that. And so I definitely recommend it. For sure. It might ease my pain a little bit, the fact that I can't go this year, to know that at least I'm helping a few other people to do that event.
Right. So help a brother out here.
That's right.
Let's see if we can't muster some sympathy for some guy that can't go back to the Athens Marathon.
I can't be too sad. What an amazing, how many people get to do that as part of their job. I mean, for crying out loud. And I'll go back. I will go back, whether I end up getting to go back as part of my job or if I just, you know, go back on my vacation, because my oldest son is running marathons now, and I definitely want him to have that experience. My younger son has still got he's got 3 more years of eligibility, the NCAA, so he'll keep running for his school. But once he's done with his collegiate running and can start thinking about marathons, I'll want him to go over there and do that one as well. So
don't make them wait till you turn 70 to run marathon with you. Okay?
Oh my gosh. Do you know what, folks? Don't wait until you're 70 to do anything. Don't wait until you're 60. Don't wait until anything. Don't wait. God, I mean, how much time do we have left? And we were talking about this earlier with the Ultra Cowboy. He's in his last stage, and we're praying for him and for Jess, and just, you know, we're sad, but look at the things he did in running. Look at the accomplishments he had. He was an animal, and he did amazing things in running, and stuff that he can be proud of and that we can all be inspired by. And if he had said, well, I'm going to wait another 10 years to do a certain thing, there's no guarantee any of us has another 10 years or another 10 days. So, take on those challenges, sign up for those things, and go for those goals. Don't wait.
Yeah. And if some of you listeners are not 100% familiar with the story that Chris is relaying, it's about our good friend Kelvin T. Reed and his beautiful wife, Jess. Kelvin's in obviously the fight for his life. He's with hospice right now. But if you don't know his story, get to Facebook and search Kelvin T. Reed, or you're welcome to get over to our Facebook page. He's a friend there on that Facebook page as well. And send him whatever prayers, thoughts, and good vibes that you can. Thanks for bringing that up, Chris. That was sweet of you.
Well, it was on my heart. You know, we were talking about it before, and it just seemed to. When you say don't wait until you're 70, that's the first thing. That's how I got into ultra running. I didn't want to reach a certain age and have something happen, and realize that you know, and wonder what could I have done.
Yeah, I should have. And yeah, you're right. You're right. Well, that's all the time I can take from you today, Chris. I appreciate it once again. Stay in touch, and we'll chat again for the next episode if you'll have me.
Hey.
Before I let you go, I do want to thank you for something you're not even aware of. But at our Facebook page, at the Extra Mile Facebook group, I have to say that it's closed, but I'll let you guys in. As long as you don't talk nasty about me. So you're welcome to join that. But you have become the de facto training coach for that whole group. And I think it's kind of – I smile a little bit and hope you don't mind it. But someone will put something out there and say, hey, I'm trying to do this or that. Or our buddy Chris Russell just put something up out there about – running 100 miles, and mm-hmm. somebody will ask a question. Somebody will jump in and tag you on it and say, Chris Triggs, this one's yours, buddy. And you're always so good at replying, and not just a sentence or two, but copious replies.
Well,
so thank you.
I have to apologize for not being proactive on all of those things, but you know, I don't always catch it when somebody, and I don't want to, you know, I don't want to insinuate myself into a conversation too much. There are lots of people that have valid opinions to offer, but yeah, if somebody tags me, I'm definitely going to go in and I'm going to comment on it. And I love, don't please people that are listening, don't hesitate to tag me on those things. I definitely want to help the Extra Mile community. This is a great community to be a part of. And I love how much love there is, how much support there is of each other. And if somebody offers a contrary opinion to something that I'm suggesting out there, I'm not going to be offended by that. But yeah, if people see a coaching question out there or thing, something they think that. That I might be able to offer an opinion on, don't hesitate to tag me, and I will. I promise I will rush right over there and give my two cents as much as that's worth.
Appreciate it. That's all I got for you today, Chris. Have a good day, buddy.
You have a good day too. Next time we talk, man, I'm going to be in Colorado. So,
that 100 plus or whatever the heck they call it these days.
Yeah.
Hard Rock.
Hard Rock. Yeah. So I leave a week from Saturday to head out that way. Wow. So, yep.
Well, we'll catch up on how your training's going for that next time.
Thanks, man. You take care of yourself. Enjoy those walks. I love seeing those that you're posting. I thought it was so cool that you were able to bring in Chris Darling as part of your video the other day. I didn't know that it was even possible on Facebook. So.
Yeah, I had done it one other time, I think, with JD, but I just noticed he was watching. I'm like, what the heck? I'm
going to watch this
and see what happens. And so it was kind of impromptu. And
that was cool. Although I will advise him not to drive and video chat at the same time.
Yeah, right. I chastised him a little bit too.
All right, take care, man. Thanks. Have a great day.
Thank you. You too. Bye. See ya. So there you go. Good stuff, huh? You know, I was originally concerned about discussing the whole topic of walking with Jeff. I mean, I probably wouldn't be doing it if my hip were still made from that old-fashioned bone stuff, you know? But I have to say, there seems to be way more interest than I thought. How about me being ahead of the curve, huh? So I plan on continuing the walking. I'm going to add some cadence drills, like Jeff recommends, and I'm going to try to add some miles and also some speed to my walking. And someday, I will add the most gentle run intervals ever. But through a lot of research, I have come across a few things that the experts seem to agree will either reduce the wear on my titanium hip or on your bony hip. And they all center around the fact that running can wear down your hips because it's an impact sport. So the real question to me now is, how can I reduce the impact of my running? So here's my plan. Number one,
lose some weight. Less weight means less impact, right? Now, I know that's easier said than done, and I say that about every 6 months. But all I'm saying is that's another good reason to get back to a much healthier weight. Number two, I'm going to try to convert to a more mid or 4 foot strike with my running. Although I've seen studies that differ, most agree that a mid 4 foot produces less impact. And to that end, I'm going to be discussing the topic with Golden Harper very shortly. Golden is the inventor of the Zero Drop running shoe and the founder of the Altra Running Company. Number three, although the science may differ on the running form, I think it's pretty settled science that running causes more impact than walking, right? Can we at least agree on that point? If that's true, then common sense tells me that run, walk, run would come somewhere in between walking and running as far as impact goes, right? In other words, run, walk, run is less stressful on my bionic hip than running. So when I do start back, which won't be for a few weeks or maybe months, it will be a very gentle run, walk, run. And finally, number four, my new exercise life will include a lot more walking. Not run, walk, running, just walking. In other words, less running. And not only does that not depress me, I'm kind of excited about it. So that's all I got. Thanks again, as always, to Mr. Galloway, to Mr. Twiggs for spending so much time with us in this episode, as always. I appreciate it. Thanks for the download in the last almost 2 hours of your lives. I certainly don't take that one lightly. And before I let you go, don't forget that it's totally squish weather, isn't it? So check out the show notes for how to order your squish band and tell John that we sent you. So I've shared my plans with you. Now, how about it's your turn? Maybe shoot over and subscribe to the Extra Mile podcast if you don't already, and tell us all what your plans are. I will put how to subscribe to that other podcast in the show notes for today. And until the next time, y'all enjoy your extra mile.
Us for this edition of the Extra Mile Podcast, Jeff Galloway edition. Please visit our website at www.thegallowayextramile.com to see the show notes for this episode of the podcast. You can email us with your feedback about the show or send your audio questions for Jeff or Chris to podcast@jeffgalloway.com. Thanks for listening, and until next time, enjoy your extra mile.